following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Baa baa black sheep, have you any wool? No, sir, no, sir. Some nincompoop with pantyhose pulled over his face stole all my wool sweaters and gaming system. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency recently helped me with renter's insurance. Everything stolen was replaced, and the little boy who lives down the lane was caught trying to sell it online. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Hi, I'm Mike Greenberg. Think you've tried everything for your allergies? Well, Allegra works like nothing else. Only Allegra is both fast and non-drowsy, starts working in just an hour, keeps working for 24 hours to relieve your toughest symptoms like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy, watery eyes. It's effective even at 8 times high pollen levels. So remember, you can have it all with Allegra. It applies to first dose only among OTC-branded antihistamines and controlled environment studies using pollen deemed high by the National Allergy Bureau. Use as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
The Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on another jam-packed show. It's a Wednesday. Loper Link with UNK volleyball coach Rick Squires coming up in about 4 or 5 minutes here. Then Brad Wagner out to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, manager of the American League or of the Little League World Series team from Kearney that plays tomorrow night here on ESPN Radio. Again, their games from Williamsport here on ESPN Radio, and we will have tomorrow night's game approximately 6:55 first pitch, depending on how the whole day goes, because it's game after game, but they have the last one scheduled for 7:10 first pitch tomorrow. And Charlie Shoemaker, Grand Island Central Catholic head football coach, is our high school preview continues, and we have fantasy football tomorrow. Luke Hoover from rotowire.com is going to be our guest. It is that time. Everybody's going to be jamming those fantasy drafts into the next couple of weeks. Some have happened already, but with the season starting on a Wednesday night this year instead of a Thursday, and it's right after Labor Day, folks are trying to get their drafts done before the Labor Day holiday weekend. So if you have questions for Luke, give us an email, Facebook us. We'll ask him your fantasy football questions as we do every Thursday, but that is tomorrow, and we always shoot for that last segment of a Thursday show at 11:45. But it's getting that time. It's pretty exciting as we dive into the fall sports season. But this came down just after the show yesterday, and I'm going, what? Okay, the Olympics are over. Not everybody was a good boy. We've got some Ivory Coast, I believe it is, I saw this morning, defectors. They want to stay in London. You can legally stay until November with your visa. If you wanted to stay in London and not be from England, you can do that until November. But as you've seen, most of the athletes are back. All these United States and American athletes are all over the place. Radio, television, all the morning shows, all the evening shows. Jordan Burroughs was on last night with Jay Leno. Had to sit through Kelsey Grammer for about 30 minutes. Good God. To get to Jordan Burroughs, who had a good five-minute segment on there. Nothing too crazy. You could tell Leno didn't have a clue about wrestling. And maybe that's why we just don't get the coverage. Although he did mention one of the sports that maybe didn't get as much notoriety as it should. And Jordan Burroughs was really cool. And he was on last night, the gold medalist from the University of Nebraska, of course, giving a shout-out. But anyway, getting back over there, not everybody was a good boy or girl, obviously, at the Olympics. Here's your story from London. A court has delayed sentencing a British man who admitted spying on members of an Olympic swimming team in a women's changing room. Declan Crosby. Let's go with Declan. It could be Declan because there's a lot of clans of Irishmen. But let's go Declan Crosby, accused of peering over the top of cubicles as members of this women's Olympic swimming team were changing and getting changed at a sports center where they were training in the northern city of Leeds. The swimmers were training in England ahead of the Olympics. The 25-year-old was caught after three members of the swim team complained they saw him looking over the top of changing room's toilet cubicles. When staff at the sports center went to find him, he hid in a cubicle and answered in a women's voice. He pleaded guilty last month to a charge of trespassing with intent to commit a sexual offense. A spokeswoman for Leeds Crown Court said that Crosby's sentencing was delayed until September the 17th. He has previous convictions for voyeurism and trespassing. The world's finest athletes are there. Whose Olympic swim team was this guy peeping on? You know, you'd think, what pops into your head? Sweden? Sweden's Swedish team. You know, they always get something there. I can go on and on and on. No, he thought it would be pretty cool to check out the Chinese Olympic swimming team over there. So good luck, Declan Crosby, in prison with people that'll want to probably peep on you. Weirdo. So just a little weirdo alert, and I'm sure there were other weirdo alerts from the Olympics. But Doug and Daddy Show, a lot of injury news going on to start the show today. Out of the U.S. Open is going to be Rafael Nadal, just announcing that in the last 20 minutes here, is that he is out with injury. Then you've got Brian Urlacher, arthroscopic surgery on his left knee, hopes to be ready for the season opener. Now ESPN's Ed Warder is reporting that Dallas Cowboy tight end Jason Witten suffered a spleen injury in Monday's preseason game against Oakland. You remember that great football game? Cowboys still haven't determined the seriousness of the injury, although early evaluations have indicated Witten's spleen is not ruptured. The star tight end is experiencing internal bleeding, hoping to avoid surgery. He's expected to miss up to 3 weeks, could be available on that opening night, which of course is the Wednesday night instead of a Sunday like everybody else, against the New York Giants. Rolando McClain got him in the first quarter. And Witten missed a few plays, returned, caught one more pass, and then that was it for the night. So Witten out for the Dallas Cowboys. Witten out, could miss that first game. So there's another piece of injury news. As you hear, every year there's going to be people getting knocked around, banged up, dinged up, and hopefully just not lost for extended periods of time to start the NFL season. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That is the number to get a hold of us. All you have to do is email the Dent Popper inbox, should you want to do that. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our Loper link with the Lopers getting on the field in football. And they're 28th in the Division II preseason coaches poll. I thought they'd be in the top 25, especially being a top 10 team all year last year. The soccer team, practice going on, cross country, all the fall sports teams have things going on. UNK volleyball opened up on Monday, and our Loper link is brought to you by Russ Smith at CharterWest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from new construction, home, commercial, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons they have the loans, and by Garrett Tire Trend and Appliance with On the Farm tire service just for you. Fourth in the country, the UNK volleyball team coming off a 32-2 campaign, and head coach Rick Squires is back to lead the Chargers once again. Picked up his 400th career victory last year, and he joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Well, great to have you back on the program and get another season underway. And we'll get to that grueling opening tournament here in just a little bit, but what'd you think when you saw the number 4 ranking yesterday ahead of every other MIAA team?
Well, I mean, I probably can't say what I think on the air here, but you know, it's respect for our program. It's probably a little high. I mean, considering the fact that you know, we have a first team All-American that's not returning, I'm sure a lot of the voters aren't aware of that, but you know, it's good to be mentioned, and, you know, I think we like to keep our program certainly in the top 25. I mean, you just try not to put a whole lot of stock in that preseason poll. I mean, if you can be in this kind of a situation in the final poll, then you've done something. But so far, we haven't done a thing. So we're encouraged. We think we got some potential, and hopefully we'll be mentioned somewhere near the end of the year as well.
Reiterate to the fans out there, because there's a couple of other teams in Central Missouri, 5th, and in Washburn, 7th, who the coaches picked ahead of you. You were picked 3rd by the MIAA coaches poll. So you got 3 teams in there. Emporia State, Truman are receiving votes. But yet you look at the old RMAC, there's Metro State, there's Colorado Mines. So the teams that are considering or getting considered for the rankings are about equal in number. How is the depth in the MIAA night in and night out compared to the RMAC?
Well, I kind of look at it two ways. I think in one respect, the RMAC was probably a little bit underrated, especially the division we played in. I mean, that the last couple of years, when you look at teams like Regis and Colorado Springs, who didn't even get into the tournament, you know, we went toe-to-toe with those guys more than once. So that East division, I think, was certainly one of the upper-tier conferences in the country. You know, what we didn't maybe always get the same top-to-bottom quality from the West division. And so from that respect, I would say that in the MIAA, top-to-bottom, there's going to be more depth. And there's probably also more teams in the upper tier, or, you know, top 10, top 5, top 15 of Division II. I mean, in the RMAC, we maybe had ourselves in a Metro in and out of there, or Mines kind of creeping up in there. But when you look at Washburn and Central Missouri, I mean, those are perennial Elite Eight, top 5, you know, knocking on the door of a national championship type programs. And, you know, that's not to mention a Truman who, you know, has very recently been in the top 5, you know, Emporia, who's kind of in and out of that range. Pitt State is another one who's been in and out of the top 20 for sure. So, you know, the very top of the league is going to be tighter, and then the overall depth is probably going to be stronger.
Explain to the fans that'll be, and media and everybody that's going to be getting used to how things are run in the MIAA, how's the schedule breakdown? How are you divided up? How do you play the teams when you get to conference?
Well, right now, the first couple of years anyway, it's going to be similar to what we had in the RMAC. The conference, that they really like to boast about the fact that they're one conference and they keep one set of standings, which I think is great, and we're certainly in line with that. But from a strictly scheduling standpoint, we will play, in volleyball, there are 13 schools, and so it's kind of divided 6 and 7, and we're in the side with 6. And so we'll play, you know, double round robin that side with 6, and then we'll play everybody on the other side once, kind of alternating home and away by year. So that's very similar to what we're used to. And then in each division, and I, to be honest with you, I couldn't name every school in each division right now, but 4 teams from each side will get into a conference tournament. It's been determined that the opposite side, I don't know if it's called East and West or how it's all set up, but I think it's an Eastern side that will host the final 4 of that conference tournament the first year, and then the Western side will host the second year. So it's similar with maybe a few tweaks. I really believe that probably after this first couple of years, you know, after 1 year, Truman's going to leave, so it's going to be 12 schools. But I think we're going to get most likely to a double round robin schedule at some point. And, you know, there's good and bad that goes along with that. But, you know, different places, the travel's still very challenging, especially in the first couple of years here, because the MIAA was operating with a lot of midweek games, which I think they could get away with their members that they had. But now that they've added some, boy, you figure in going to Emporia on a Tuesday night, and even St. Joe, and, you know, Northwest, and, you know, midweek games, that's going to be tough. So we'll still be spending some time on the road.
And just for the fans out there, the two teams that are going to be rivals, if you go by the rankings, are Central Missouri and Washburn, and the Lopers will play Washburn twice this year, home and away. And they'll only play Central Missouri once, and you look at that schedule, I think the folks that made the schedule knew a little bit. The last weekend, Central Missouri comes to Kearney the very next night at Washburn, so that little round robin the final weekend could help determine the MIAA champion here in 2012. Let's get to your team a little bit. Rick, 32-2. You mentioned it at the start that you lose your defending Division II All-American first team in Haley Lake. She's not with the team. I'll let you address that how you want and then kind of fill in on what that means when you lose a person of that talent.
Sure. Well, I mean, Haley's got some personal reasons for not coming back, and she's going to stay at home in Lincoln and try to get some things sorted out. And, you know, it certainly wasn't a deal where she was unhappy here or we were unhappy with her. It's just kind of in her best interest at this stage. So we wish her well. And strictly from a playing standpoint, obviously it hurts. I mean, you just go through statistically and look what she did for us and the fact that she had a couple of years left to play and, you know, remains to be seen whether she'll get to play or not in the future. But it was a blow, and I guess if there is a silver lining there, we learned about it early enough, first part of the summer, that we got a chance to kind of catch our breath and regroup, and then we were fortunate enough that through the connection with Liz McGowan at GICC, Steph Brand, who had spent a year at Wayne State and was kind of trying to determine whether or not she was going to continue to play college volleyball, was available and interested and contacted us. And so that softened things up a little bit to get a player of her caliber, especially considering she's had a year of college volleyball, which helps a lot. And even though she wasn't a full-time starter at Wayne, I mean, she spent a year in a great program and I think kind of looks at this opportunity as a, you know, maybe a new lease on life to play college volleyball. And so that helps a little bit. We still have a lot of veterans coming back. I mean, we played the spring without Ellie Pesavento, and, you know, that was our other middle. So, and we had a great spring. So you throw her back in there, and we didn't have Ashley Light in the spring either. So, you know, it's a little give and take. We got no choice but to kind of take the glass half full stance on this and look to the future, and we're still excited about the team we're going to put on the floor, just from a strictly talent standpoint, we'll have enough talent to compete with anybody we play against, and just like everybody else, the margin for error is thin, but at least, you know, we've got a team that's going to have a chance every night. That's about all you can ask for.
Well, once again, one of the reasons this program has been so successful is because of the area talents. You've got Sokolowski from Kearney Catholic. You got Krolikowski from Grand Island. Of course, Rosé is going to be taking care of your setter job again from Northwest. So, again, and then you mentioned Steph coming in from Central Catholic. So, obviously, you're going to be leaning on those girls pretty heavily. What about the new kids? Are there any of them that you expect will see some playing time for you this year?
You know, it's really hard to say right now. I think it's a possibility is about all. We've had five practices. As a whole, this group of newcomers is doing very well. I mean, they are more college ready than a lot of groups we've had, and so they're functioning very well in our drills. They're picking things up quickly. They're athletic. They're competitive. I wouldn't be surprised if we got some help from any number of them, or, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, they were understudies for a while either. But I think it makes us feel good knowing that we've got some options there. I mean, you look at Christina Silver from Grand Island Senior High. She's doing well. MJ Massonet is doing well out of Manhattan, Kansas. We brought in a setter from Colorado, Aaron Seeley, who's, it's her work cut out for her to knock out somebody like Jenna Rosé. But, I mean, she's playing well enough for us to feel good about If we have to go to our number two there or get her in the game, she's capable of doing that. And Kaylee Fertig's looked like, you know, a player who's got a lot of potential here from Kearney High. So I just don't know that I can pinpoint one of them at this point, but I would say that it's likely one or two of them might get some court time early in the year just to kind of see how they handle it.
Talking with Rick Squires here for just another minute. He is the head volleyball coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. Well, you get that opportunity to go to Hawaii at the end of the month to start your season. None of those teams are nationally ranked in the three matches that you play. I want to go to Hawaii and play some volleyball, but it's, again, one of those trips that's a reward for the seniors, as most programs do. You try to get a nice trip in during their collegiate days. Talk about the competition, what you know about the three teams you'll start the season with.
Well, I mean, we know a lot about Augustana. We played them last year in the opening weekend, and all the sets were close. And, you know, Augie's one of those teams that tells you how good the Northern Sun is. When somebody told me that Augustana was on a 7-year drought from the NCAA tournament, I couldn't believe it. I mean, they're a good team. I mean, they're long and athletic, and their middles are very good, and I don't know that they had a senior on their team last year. I think they got they had a victory against Wayne State. So, I mean, that's a team who's trying to cross over and get to the next level in the Northern Sun and kind of get back into the scene nationally. And so we'll be tested right out of the gate. Don't know a whole lot about Hawaii Hilo other than it sounds like they had a heck of a senior last year who's gone. So, you know, that'll be new for us. And then we play a Canadian team who it actually doesn't count as an NCAA match for us. So I guess it's just kind of an exhibition. But when I pulled them up on the website, I think they only lost a couple of matches in their season last year. So no idea what to expect other than they're a team that's used to winning. And we look forward to getting over there. I mean, Ariel Krolikowski has been working on me for about 2 years to get us over to Hawaii. So I finally caved in. And we'll get over there, and obviously the kids like to go. And it's a good chance to spend time together as a team, and hopefully we'll play well enough that we can come back with some good feelings about what we did on the court. And then you got to the tough thing about that trip is, it's a long trip, and then you get back, and you're a little jet lagged. It's 4 or 5 hours difference, and then you got to get ready to play again the next week in our own tournament here.
Now, obviously, the question that is on most Loper fans' minds and alumni minds, and the folks that remember the trips that you guys have taken before: do you still have the coconut bikini?
I always pack the coconut bikini. I mean, you just never know when you're going to need that thing. So, you know, we take the approach that what happens in Hawaii is supposed to stay in Hawaii.
Yeah,
unfortunately, that doesn't always work out.
I think Facebook even took off since the last time you guys were in Hawaii, so we may even get up-to-date photos. John Cook went off, Coach Squires, during his media day last week about the new substitution rule that is going to be in play in volleyball this year. And he went so far as to say, maybe even taking a shot at lower division schools, saying that's a way that they can get more kids involved and get more kids on their campus and get more people to come in and watch them play because they're local kids. How will the new substitution rule affect UNK?
I don't see it having a dramatic impact. I think we're talking about 12 to going from 12 to 15 subs, unless he's talking about, unless they got a different one.
No, that's what he's talking about. Thinks it's going to drag the game on.
You know what? I mean, I'm an old NAIA guy, and they still have unlimited subs, and I don't remember games going any slower. I mean, you can get them in and out of there. I think that's kind of I know that you hear some of that coming down maybe from the national team, because at the national level they're very limited on substitutions. I think they only get 6. And so that makes the transition maybe from a program like Nebraska or Penn State or something to national level volleyball more difficult, because in college we specialize a little more, and then some of those players have to go play international volleyball and they haven't played back row and all those things. So probably affects them maybe a little more than us. I don't really have strong feelings about it one way or another. I thought 12 was acceptable. 15 maybe gives you a few more options, especially if you're going to look at running a 6-2. So, you know, maybe back when Coach Cook was running a 6-2, he would have liked it a little bit more. But so I guess we'll deal with it. I mean, over the years, we've had a lot of changes, and I think this one's probably relatively minor compared to some. And that gives you a little more flexibility, but I wasn't a huge proponent of it one way or another.
They open the season on the 31st, play a couple of games on the 1st in Hawaii, return home for their own tournament, and their home opener will be the evening of Thursday, September the 6th. The fourth-ranked UNK volleyball team. Rick, I'll let you out of here with this because I'm curious. If the Lopers have five losses on a volleyball season, it's almost considered a disaster because of where this program has built itself to. Yet we're in the MIAA, we're in this regional. At the end of the year, 32-2 last year, that's where you guys have been. What would you take right now? Well, what do you think is going to happen with this team? I mean, what would be satisfying to get you into the regional and get where you need to be, I guess, might be the fair question.
I'll tell you what, I think, you know, you're maybe looking at an initial milestone in this conference with this schedule of getting 20 victories. If you get 20 victories, now you're at least in the discussion. 20 itself probably not going to get you in this region. So, you know, I think you look at your schedule, maybe 25 is a magic number. And I think in the region we're in, and it, you know, if you look at the poll, and I know the poll doesn't mean a whole lot at this stage, but the Central region has, what, seven teams in the top 10 or something like that? And
first, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, 12th, including yourself.
I mean, it's unprecedented probably for any sport to have that kind of power in one region. So, you know, I just don't know. I mean, I guess the good thing is you're going to get a chance to play against other regionally ranked teams on a regular basis. So you got more opportunities to get a win against the Washburn or a Central or a Truman or an Emporia, or, you know, we play Wayne. And so, you know, if 25 wins doesn't get you in, then holy smokes. I mean, that's a razor-thin margin of error to get into the tournament. So I guess, you know, we try not to focus on numbers too much, but to expect to be 32-2 every year with the schedule we play now, and that goes for anybody. I mean, Central Missouri, Washburn, I don't care who you are. If you win 30 games in this conference, in this region, then you've got a special team and a national championship-level team. So you'll be ready to play anybody at that stage. So we'll take them one at a time, as they say.
Well, Coach, looks like we've talked for a little longer than we usually do, but we found out a lot of information. We'll let you get back to work. Have a safe trip out to Hawaii, and we'll chat with you when you get back.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Take care. Rick Squires, UNK volleyball coach on our Loper Link today, brought to you by Russ Smith, Charter West National Bank of Kearney. Let Russ help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons, they have the loans. And by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliance. For all your vehicle services, big or small, or maybe you just need a new range, microwave, television set, they'll take care of you. You can check them out online at GarrettTire.net. Very special volleyball team, you would have to think, here for the University of Nebraska at Kearney. But, and we've talked about it, and it just gets tougher. What do you do when you have the regional tougher than the national tournament? This is taking SEC football to a new level. I mean, you just can't imagine right now an SEC team not making the Final Four of the playoff system when that gets going. You just expect that the SEC champion has come through the toughest conference in the country and deserves to be in there. Well, you got six of the top 12 teams in the country in an eight-team region. You won't get that many. Usually you don't get eight teams in the top 25 to the national tournament, so something needs to be done. It wouldn't take much. Split it up a little bit. Send the Minnesota teams one way and send the rest the other way. It's just not that tough, folks. And the NCAA needs to take a look at that. It's not fair. I mean, you want to give your athletes the best chance, the best advantages? Well, you're not doing it. in this situation. Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth will have Brad Wegner stopping by from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Kearney Little Leaguers coming up next. Also, in the last half of the show, last segment of the show, we'll have Charlie Shoemaker, Grand Island Central Catholic football coach, joining us here. Midway Auto Dealerships are on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and they take care of their customers more and more every day, whether it's selling you a new or pre-owned vehicle, whether it is just performing service on your car, maybe just the simple oil change in the GM Quick Lane or the Mopar Express Lube Lane. No appointment necessary. 30-minute oil change, less than $30 with the free 27-point inspection and car wash. You know all about that. Then they put up extra deals daily, weekly, on their Facebook page, on their website. You can check it all out at thinkmidway.com. No better website in this part of the country to check out anything you could possibly need to get you from point A to point B with a set of wheels. The Midway Auto Dealership, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. More on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Farmers, it's time to beat the heat with the best value of the year on a T&L pivot system. Save $5,200 on a quarter-mile pivot and get the best water distribution over your crop and the best reliability for the long haul of an extended heat wave. Call T&L Irrigation today or your local T&L dealer, or check them out online at TLIRR.com. Get T&L's proven hydraulic technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime.
You know, Greeny, those La Quinta people are geniuses.
How so, Mensa man?
They've got this new Instant Hold mobile feature that lets you hold a room at the last minute with just one finger and your phone number.
That is really smart.
It's a whole new ballgame, and all you have to do is punch in your phone number using your smartphone.
No credit card number?
Nope.
No mother's maiden name?
No.
No your pet's first name?
No.
No surfing squirrels?
No. Wait, what?
I was just making sure you were paying attention.
La Quinta Inns and Suites take care of you so you can take care of business.
Instant Hold your next stay on your smartphone at LQ.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at ibm.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
In a recent study on ingredients in CTS Clinical, typical weight loss results are 21 pounds in 12 weeks. But listen to these real results from real customers.
A year ago, I weighed almost 240 pounds. Thanks to my boss recommending Complete Nutrition, I'm down to a lean 167 pounds, and I'm all muscle.
Start your own weight loss success story with CTS Clinical from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island, just north of Boardman's off Highway 281, and in Kearney, just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Little League World Series in Williamsport, PA, to try and get on ESPN.
Quintana, a two-run home run, and Nebraska is back on top.
Kearney's first game at 6:45 Thursday is presented by Barney Insurance, BarneyInsurance.net, Tom Dinsdale Automotive Group in Grand Island, and online at DinsdaleAuto.com. The two locations of Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. And listen on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM. You can help players' families go in person by making a donation at KearneyLittleLeague.org.
Mostly sunny skies develop as we head through the day today with a slight chance for a storm late. Otherwise, look for highs to around 98 degrees as south winds stay at 10 to 20. Tonight, there's a chance for scattered storms with a low of 59. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 73.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, rolling along on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along with us. Always invite you to join us. Give us your comments. Give us your thoughts on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. That is the Dent Popper inbox email address, and the phone number 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Brad Wegner, Kearney Little League coach. Of course, tomorrow's game can be heard right here, and their games throughout the early portion of the tournament are all here on ESPN Radio. And it starts tomorrow night
at 7:10. First pitch, our coverage around 6:55 as they take on Goodlettsville, Tennessee, the Southeast Conference champion. And if you're going to go out and watch it or any of your favorite sports, do it at Cunningham's Journal, the loft, the beautiful courtyard with this weather. After today, the breeze goes down, it cools off, the music out in the courtyard. Of course, on the weekend, they just had a big red wanting blue weekend. I know the folks out there, and hey, happy birthday to Kay Gatula, huh? Kristen, happy birthday. She's going crazy down there, probably personal red wanting blue this weekend. But Cunningham's is the place to be, whether you want a prime rib sandwich for lunch, pizza, maybe you just want it for your evening meal, a snack any time of the day, burgers, bacon wrapped shrimp. Oh, the Journal Bites are so good as well. Maybe you can eat inside in the air conditioning. Outside, they'll feed you there as well. And at lunch, you can have any specialty burger and a bottle of the coldest domestic draft beer in town for only $6.49. So forget about that daily routine. Take a little break with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and enjoy some you time at Cunningham's Journal, your home away from home for sports, live entertainment, and yummy lunch, located on 23rd Street in downtown Kearney. Well, it's getting close now. They have been away from home for a long time, and school started today for some kids, tomorrow for others, but not for the champions that are in Williamsport. And Brad Wagner joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We gave Brad a little time to breathe after talking to him a couple, three times in Indianapolis. Brad, congratulations once again from everyone here, and everyone's looking forward to tomorrow night's game. Now that it's kind of settled in, what's the feeling right now?
Well, and it's been a hectic few days. You know, you got all these obligations as far as ESPN, and the kids get to do a lot of really cool stuff, meet some interesting people. They've already met some of the ball players, the pro ball players that are around here. We finally kind of got into the sense that, yeah, we're going to play a ball game tomorrow, so... The kids are excited, obviously. They're also starting to go about their business now and kind of get down to the fact that, hey, I can't wait to play, Coach. I've started to hear that. So that's a good sign. It's an amazing place. I got to be honest, I didn't expect it to be quite this grand of a stage. The place is just a beautiful field, two beautiful fields. It's the rolling hills of Pennsylvania. We get up every morning and there's fog over the hills, and it's just everything's beautiful. The town's really a nice town, nice people. So it's exceeded my expectations, I know that.
Brad, tell us what has transpired since you guys were crowned champions on Saturday afternoon and today. I know you guys got there almost immediately. Tell us about the trip and tell us about what's been going on these last 4 days.
Sure. We got up the next morning Sunday, got on the bus at 9, got at the airport in India and flew into Newark, came right in next to New York City skyline, got to see the Freedom Tower going up, and the kids got to see the Statue of Liberty from the plane. Four of them hadn't flown before, so they were having a pretty good time with that. And what was kind of cool, we got into New York and we had to wait around for our bus. We had a 3-hour bus ride from there. And as we're sitting there, we had all of us got shirts to travel in that said Little League, and we all had the same colors. And people would come up and say, "You guys one of the Little League teams?" And yeah, and you know the New Yorkers are so classic. They had, you know, attaboys and good locks, you know, with the accent and stuff. And it was just cool. The kids started to realize they're going to kind of be some celebrities, and you know, their eyes were open wide a little bit on that. We made the bus trip, got here, got checked in, and right away they brought us our new uniforms, decked us out from head to toe, and. In some really cool gear for our uniforms. And next day, got up, had breakfast early, and then we went to the Easton tent and gave us all new batting helmets, gloves, bats, new shoes, and just treated the kids like they were major leaguers. You know, the way they talked to them, they interacted with them, and talked about, you know, how's your game, how'd you guys do in the tournament on an individual basis. You know, they just, everybody's so nice to these kids, and they treat them just, like I said, like rock stars, like major leaguers. They then went to an outing with the Baseball Factory, which is a company that does video analysis of your hitting, your fielding, your pitching. They went through all the stations with them. They put these kids in front of a video camera with about 5 guys scouting them or writing down notes, and they let them hit. And they have a Doppler radar that gives them their exit speed of the baseball, and they use different bats to see which bat fits them right. So based on that, they tell them which Easton bat to take, and they give them that bat. And then they put them on the field out there on LaMotte Stadium on the main field and let them field and pitch off the mound there, and they video them there, and again, there's guys critiquing them. So when we're done with all this in about a week or so, maybe 2 weeks, they'll have it up on their video or on their website with video analysis of what the kids do right, what the kids need to change, work on. Just stuff like that. You know, the kids have been, we've had tons of reporters. We've met with the AP. We've met with, of course, lots of ESPN people. And the kids went through their ESPN production shots yesterday. You know, the things you see before the game or maybe between innings where the kids are jumping around, dancing around, goofing around. They did all that. They were pretty good at it, I thought. We've got some pretty good characters on the team. A few good dancers that I didn't know about, too. Me not included, by the way. And then from there, yeah, we did have practices in between all of this. I got to throw that in there. We're not just goofing around. But then after that, we went and did some more stuff with ESPN. Two of the kids got to go do a segment with Nomar Garciaparra. Where they do the fundamentals of baseball called building blocks. So you'll see that, you know, during the game sometime. Mark Hergis and Christian Dakin got to go do that. So they hung out with Nomar and Kyle Peterson, a gentleman from Nebraska that did our games at Indy. He was also a pitcher. So they got to meet some pretty cool people. One of the interesting people we met was Bucky Buffington. He's been the producer of Wild World of Sports forever. And he sat and talked to Coach Dakin for probably 20, 30 minutes and just told him stories about, you know, he's been doing Wild World of Sports. He's seen everything. He's like, he always personally comes to the Little League World Series because he said it's just pure athletics at their best with all these kids, you know, just playing because they love the game, not because they're getting paid. You know, and then it's some of the best baseball players at this age in the world. And he always makes sure that he's at this. And he's just the nicest guy in the world, treated us all like he knew us forever. And that was really cool, to say the least. So lots of cool things, and it sounds like there's more to come. We have a parade tonight downtown. We're on the float with the Japanese team. And, you know, how could I ever imagine that was going to happen? The kids are getting to see, they're making friends with guys, the kids from Uganda, first time Uganda's ever been here, and a team from Curacao that's next to us in the dorm. We've the kids are kind of running around with them a little bit, even though we don't know how to speak Dutch. they're figuring out a way to communicate, so that's what's cool. I mean, our kids are so proud of the fact that they're getting out there, and they're right in the middle of the ping pong games in the game room, and they're in the middle of the hockey games, and I mean, they're living it up just like they should. They're making making it a real deal for them.
I'm guessing in an Olympic year, the kids know that that's going on. They're used to these other countries. They're getting to see some of these other countries. I'm sure there's some stories about that. The travel, when you were talking about the airport, I'm thinking, well, there's probably Olympians flying in, and you guys are flying out and things like that. It sounds like everyone's soaking up every bit of what they can out there at Williamsport. And Brad Wagner, Kearney Little League coach, is with us here. So tomorrow night here on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Television, 7 o'clock, let's talk a little bit about what's ahead from the baseball standpoint. I got a chance to watch the Tennessee team win their regional over the last weekend. 1-0. You expect to see a lot lower scoring games, maybe pitcher dominated games once you get to Williamsport. Tell me about what you can do about scouting these other teams, what you know about your opponent tomorrow.
Well, kind of exactly what you said. You know, low scoring games throughout most of their regional, and you know, watching the games, it looks like pitching did dominate that pretty well. You know, they've got a kid, Myers kid, that throws, you know, he'll touch 70 miles an hour. He threw pretty good control. He's not a real pinpoint thrower. He's more of just a bring it as hard as he can kind of kid. And, you know, with our discipline at the plate, I'm hoping that we brought it with us from Indy. I think I packed it in a bag somewhere. And as long as we find that discipline and make him throw a strike and get him deep into pitch count, you know, we're going to have to probably keep things close to the middle or end of the game. And see where we can get maybe the last few innings. Otherwise, if our bats come alive, you know, and he makes a few mistakes, we can jump on him pretty quick, too. For us, you know, we're not going to strike tons of guys out at this level, I don't think. You just never know. We're going to look at putting Blake Quintana on the mound. You know, he's throwing mid-60s with some pretty good stuff, and he's pretty good at locating his pitches. If he's on, he'll be fine. And we're going to rely on defense, too. That's been some of our play, you know, and to get here was making some big plays here and there and making all the plays we should make. So it's going to be – I don't see us going 10-4, scoring double digits like we have been all along. This is going to be – hopefully we can get 5 or 6 runs, and I think we'll be in pretty good shape.
Brad, you talked about what the philosophy was before you even went out to Indianapolis about being disciplined at the plate was the one thing that stuck out with me. Did you think the team stayed disciplined the longer the tournament went on in Indianapolis? Because obviously the fans back here only got to see the last two games.
Yeah, that was the theme. If you look at our stats, I mean, we had probably the most walks. At one point, I know we had the most walks at the regional tournament, and the same way at the state and district level, we were having some of the other teams were getting mad at us because we weren't swinging at some of the pitches that, you know, they're mad at the umpires, they wouldn't call it a strike, and we were just being patient until we got at least one strike on us, and a lot of times with two, and you know, some of the home runs we hit earlier in this whole thing were off two strike home runs, and you know, that's pretty tough to do when you get to this level because kids are throwing a lot of stuff with two strikes at you. But that play discipline's been huge. There's no doubt about it. Our discipline overall, just you know, making the right plays in the field. Our pitchers stand within themselves. We had a little bit of an issue in a game or two where kids are trying to overthrow, you know, this big game, and they wanted to really bring it and be that kid. And, you know, we just talked to them about, hey, stay within yourself, hit your spots, let the ball get hit to where we want it to get hit, and we'll be good. And that's kind of where they ended up those last two games, and hopefully we'll take it with us here.
Folks, as we've told you, you can go to our website to get a link to go to the Kearney Little League actual page, and a financial system has been set up on KearneyLittleLeague.org to help donate, because as we said, some of these families, they went to Indianapolis, now they're following their kids out to Williamsport. It could be a 17-day or more ordeal for the families that are coming out there. Folks want to know, Brad, is the money filtering in? Are you even hearing any part about that? How much help are you guys getting right now? Because I know here at home, everybody's talking about it. Everybody has it on their Facebook. Everybody's trying to help donate and get things going to make it easier and to help out the families that are supporting their kids in a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
I am aware of it. I've been talking with the board members, being a board member myself, and all I can tell everybody is thank you. It's been amazing, the support we've gotten both through all the texts and phones and, you know, online. And as far as the donations go, I know it's going well. I don't have a number. I'd hate to even try to throw one out. But I know, you know, we were talking about a 5-day to keep the whole team around here. We're figuring about 5 days of it could be over $30,000 just because the hotels are expensive here and things like that. And everybody's stepping up, and we've been getting some nice donations from people from what I hear. It's been tremendous. I mean, the kids love the supports that they're getting. They've been looking at the newspapers online, and you know, I keep hearing them say, man, everybody watching this, and, you know, they just get a huge kick out of it. And, again, like you said, this is their chance to really be in the limelight and be the celebrities. And we've had to talk to them about it. An interesting part of this is the number of people that show up here that just want to meet them, just strangers. And, you know, we're at practice, and we've got 40 people watching one practice yesterday. We had two. The AP reporter comes to our practice, you know, that covers nationwide, and we had the local Williamsport paper, and we had another paper from Pennsylvania, I think it was Pittsburgh, you know, and the other part of it is we're Nebraska, first time here, so they want to talk to these kids too, and so their celebrity's big, and I keep telling them, well, be careful, you know, everybody's always going to want your time, but we also got to play baseball, and I just got to shepherd them a little bit on that. It's been a great experience for them. I know they'll take this experience, and it will help them long in their life in the future when they have to talk in front of people. But it's an amazing thing. I don't know how to describe it other than just it's surreal.
Brad, since the kids won't hear you answer this question, I want to pose to you, because every time you watch it on TV, you go, man, those kids are big. They're so big. They're so physical. They've matured so early. And I have to say, the more I watch it on TV, Kearney's got some kids that are just as big and mature as some others. But just of the United States teams that you've been able to see or watch practice or come across, who's the most physically gifted out there, do you think?
Well, I think if you look at the West team, the kids out of Petaluma, they're always going to be one of the most mature, and you know they're going to have a stud or two on their team. When it comes to the international team, it looks like the Mexico team actually has adults on their team. I mean, they got some kids that, you know, they got a couple of kids that are over 200 pounds, and I don't know if they've been shaving for 3 years or 4 years. It's amazing. You know, the joke we had was, I said, I'm guessing we can go to the gift shop and get razors with all these, you know, post-pubescent kids we got around here. And they're just huge. I think, you know, we've got a couple kids, too, that are already on their way to that, too. But you got Mexico that looks always pretty good physically. It's fun to watch them on the practice field. Some of these teams, you know, the Japanese and the Chinese Taipei teams are all really disciplined. Their culture is just amazing, the discipline. They all walk into the lunchroom together. They all sit down at the exact same time. They say something as they sit there. And, you know, it's just really cool to watch that discipline. And I tell my kids, can we do that kind of thing? And they all look at me like, are you serious, coach? It's just a cultural difference that is so amazing. And Japan will be good as far as international. But the other team I think is going to be pretty decent for the American side is probably the team we're going to play, Tennessee, or the team from Mid-Atlantic, which is Connecticut. They've got a couple players on there that New England, not Mid-Atlantic, but New England, the Connecticut team. Has got some I think there's a kid on there, if he grows, could be a potential major leaguer, and that's that Biagio Poeta. He's a catcher, and he just hits the ball a mile. So those will be good ones. You know, other than that, I never discount the little guys. Just because they're big doesn't mean they can swing the stick. But there are definitely some kids here that are huge. It's amazing.
Well, Coach, we could sit here and talk all day because I know I'm interested. I know the folks that are listening to the program back here at home in Central Nebraska are interested. So, A, again, congratulations on being the first Nebraska team to qualify for Williamsport. And let's see if we can keep the dream going a little bit longer. I'm not sure whose dream's more, the adults or the kids, but we'll let you get back to work. And I know we'll catch up with you again on Friday.
That sounds good, Doug. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, buddy. Brad Wagner, best of luck tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN Television, against Goodlettsville, Tennessee. Oh, man, it's cool. It's just too cool. It's too cool. You know, I found out why some of those kids are a little bigger than others. I found out. When they detassel in the summer, they're detasseling fields with TNL pivot irrigation systems. And so they're getting watered on. They're getting grown. They're growing. They grow quicker. That's what's going on. TNL Irrigation Systems, world headquarters in Hastings, taking care of every state in the nation, 60 countries worldwide, including those playing in the Little League World Series. Farmers who use their hydrostatically powered TNL pivot irrigation systems are continuing to improve their land use and water application efficiency because TNL delivers smooth, even water distribution by eliminating that uneven spoking pattern common to electrically powered pivot systems. They'll explain it all to you. They'll show you the difference on computer, on pictures, on GPS. And then when you have it in your field, you'll be able to see it in your bank account and your production. TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works. Our high school football preview of the day is with Grand Island Central Catholic's Charlie Shoemaker. That's next.
Hi, Tom Baudet. According to all the smart folks on TV, Americans are putting renewed emphasis on value. Well, the Americans we see here at Motel 6 seem to be way ahead of the curve on that value thing. Because Motel 6 has always been the place for a clean, comfortable room for the lowest price of any national chain. We were value before value was cool. Book online at motel6.com. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you.
At some auto shops, it can feel like you're dealing with a bunch of who are just out to get you. But not every auto shop sees its customers like it. Right now at Sears Auto Center, save on a brake service which includes replacement of pads or shoes plus reconditioning of rotors. And help your vehicle recover from the harsh heat of summer with $10 off an AC recharger coolant exchange. This is service you can trust. This is Sears Auto Center. For these coupons and more, stop by or visit searsauto.com. Valid for most vehicles. Offers end 8/25. Shop fees and exclusions apply. See store for details.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly sunny skies develop as we head through the day today with a slight chance for a storm late. Otherwise, look for highs to around 98 degrees as south winds stay at 10 to 20. Tonight, there's a chance for scattered storms at a low of 59. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 73.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Wednesday, it's Big Burger Night at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. Every Wednesday night for just $5, order any of the burgers off the menu, like their 7-ounce ground chuck and fries. Order a cheeseburger, mushroom burger, bacon burger, the legendary Totally Jack burger. That burger and fries, only $5 every Wednesday night, 5 to 10 at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. And you don't have to wait for Wednesday nights. You can go anytime. They're open 7 days a week. Play a little Keno. Just relax and watch your favorite sports. Hang out with your friends, your coworkers, your family. Maybe even rent the party room for a get-together that you've got coming up. It's all there for you with all of your favorite sports on television. We're just a couple of weeks away from the college football season. All the college and NFL games will be there as well at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island.
It's time for a Platte River Preps high school sports preview now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Time now for our high school football preview as we continue our trek around the Tri-Cities, and it takes us to Grand Island Central Catholic today with head coach Charlie Shoemaker as he gets the Crusaders ready for another season. They had a losing record last year but made the playoffs, so that tells you how tough their district was and how tough their schedule was. I'm not sure that their district is going to be any easier this year, but one thing that you have, like Coach Stein had when we talked at Northwest yesterday, is you got a lot of kids coming back. Coach, how do you feel through the first few practices? And welcome back to the show. How are things looking?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Things have been good. We really feel like we've hit the ground running. Like you said, we got a lot of returning experience and had our struggles last year. But we got a lot of younger kids, good experience, and we got them back. So we're excited.
How is this year going into camp differed from a coaching perspective for you and your staff, say, as the last 2 years as you were trying to get things built there?
Well, last year, like I said, we played some sophomores, and our line just really had a lot of blips in the road. We had different combinations all year long. By the time we got to the last couple games, we kind of had, they were a lot of younger kids, but we had them all in there for about 2 or 3 games, and so we really felt like coming in, we were going to be in good shape there because we got everybody back, and plus one with Zach Britton, who sat out last year with a back injury. So we just kind of felt like we've hit the ground running, and now really refining things and being able to do a lot of different things with that.
Well, it doesn't take long to get this team fired up with the way the scheduling goes. An interesting game on opening night, another contest with Minden, who had been at the end of the schedule. And I'm guessing that might not be a bad game to have the interest of the kids right off the bat.
Oh, definitely. And really, you look at every week for us. Whoever shows up and plays well is going to have a good chance to win. And if you don't, then you're going to struggle. But there's not much more you can ask for is when you go into a game feeling like you have a good chance to win if you prepare well and do things like that. But, our kids are always ready to play. This is a group that, our coaches, we were just talking the other day, they want to be good, and they're practicing like they want to be good. So we're pretty excited.
Last year, they were entertaining games. I know you wanted to win a couple, 3 more of those, but it wasn't like it was 42-0 one way or the other. A lot of these games, you had some offense, and so did the other team. Do you expect the defense to be a little bit stronger this year?
We feel like it will be a lot stronger. We're doing some different things with our coverages, playing a little more cover two. We feel like that fits our personnel a lot better, and down the road it'll fit our kids a lot better. So we feel like we've got some changes that we made there that'll be very effective for us. We feel like we're going to be pretty good up front in our front four, and our linebackers have come along real well. So, last year's games, we had some tough losses, and we were really in the ball game a lot of times. And there's just such a small margin for error at our level, and You know, we just didn't quite get over that hump last year.
Well, a lot of this football team is going to be built around your son. It's Riley's senior season. Not only does he do it at the quarterback position, but one of your leading tackler coming back at the linebacker. I know sometimes from a father/coach, it's hard to throw a lot of praise on your son, but your kid has done some really good things for this program.
Well, you know, he's been a great leader most of all. He's just been real good with all the kids, and he wants everybody to do well, and he wants to do well himself. But he's a total team guy, and you know, he took a beating last year, and we had some young guys that were playing running back that just weren't quite ready, and we've got those guys back, so we feel like there's going to be some good options for a lot of other kids too.
Talk about your running backs and why you think that's going to be a better position this year.
Well, you know, just being a year older and more experienced, and you know, and those kids were sophomores last year, it takes a pretty special player to be really ready as a sophomore to play, and you know, they were okay, but they were young, and they did some young things, and they hit the weights, they've got their strength up, and they're really hitting the ground running and really doing some good things like they're veteran players. So we feel like, you know, we've got you know, a true triple threat with two other backs, and we can do some things.
We're talking with Grand Island Central Catholic football coach Charlie Shoemaker here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Of course, if you don't have a line to run behind, it makes the running back and the quarterback's job a much bigger chore, and you've got a ton of kids back on the line again.
Yeah, really. You know, we looked at our line last year in our last game, which we struggled obviously in that game. But we bring our center back. We've got both of our one of our tackles back, and then one kid that's really had a nice summer. And then Zach Britton, who was out last year with the back injury. You know, he's 6'3", 250, and then we've got Johanna Golfing at tight end, and we've got some other young kids that have really stepped up. So it's really filled in nicely. We're starting to get some depth there too. So we're, like I said, we're really excited about that.
Charlie, you got to tell me more about Johanna. I got to see him play basketball last year, and it's obvious that the word was raw, but the kid has the physical attributes. He's just got to mature a little bit. Is that what you're seeing from him? I don't know how anybody could tackle that kid.
Well, that's kind of what we're hoping, yeah. But he really is. He's got great hands, and it's like you said. I mean, he's still young. I mean, the kid's 15 years old. So, you know, we've just tried to really work on his strength. And he had an injury this summer that, you know, he's been able to bounce back from. So, you know, we're kind of nursing him through that and taking it easy on him here, just getting him worked back in. But, you know, he's lost about 20 pounds since the summer, and which has been good for him. He was probably a little bit overweight at the time, and he's putting more strength on back on. So, you know, he's got the potential to be a very good player. He's just got to get rid of some of the young habits that he has, and he's very coachable. We can always count on him, and he's just a good kid.
You're basically halfway through now, half the practices or maybe a little more since school is going to get started, and now you've got the same amount of days before that ball game, a little bit more than that, on the 31st with Minden. Are you comfortable with where you're at in practice, and what are you going to be working on through the rest of this week specifically?
Yeah, we feel real good where we're at. You know, we've been injury-free for the most part, and you know, we've got everything installed that we want at this point. We'll probably put a few more things in, but you know, probably toward the end of the week we'll really start honing in on Minden a little bit, and we've been kind of worrying about ourselves right now, but we'll start getting some game plan things going and be ready to go.
I see that you've got a transfer in from St. Paul. Talk about Alex, and are there any other kids that fit that bill that could contribute for you?
Yeah, you know, Alex is a kid that he's going to fit in somewhere with us. He's going to play some receiver and defensive back for us. So, and those are a couple areas that we were a little bit thin in. He'll be a nice addition there, and he'll do some good things. And you know, other than that, we didn't have anybody move in. But, you know, we've got some younger kids that have done some nice things and are looking to – you know, be good rotators. I think we're going to play quite a few kids, which is a good thing. You know, that gets a lot of people involved and makes our practice a little bit more spirited.
You touched on it. We've got just a minute here left with Charlie Shoemaker, head coach of the Central Catholic Crusaders. You touched on it. Your schedule definitely is very, very tough. Minden, SCOTUS, Milford. You've got the district with St. Paul and Central City and Adams Central, and then you wrap up the year kind of in an odd way with a non-district game against Albion, who has had a lot of tradition. I guess this is one of those, in college they would say, hey, we're going to be a better football team and our record might not show it. I think your record's going to be better, but how good is this schedule you've got?
You know, it's really tough, you know, and then we can't really feel sorry for ourselves, because then you look over at Boone Central and those guys, and then you look at their schedule, and it's a little bit worse. So, you know, I mean, ours is tough, we feel, but it's probably not the toughest in the state. But, I mean, from week in and week out, you better have your ducks in a row or it's going to be tough. So, but we hope we just can, you know, get some momentum and get that first win and then just take it one week at a time and see what happens.
When we say special teams at the high school level, that can mean different things to different programs. If you say Adams Central, you're talking two-point conversions and good punt returns. If you talk at Grand Island Central Catholic, you've had some really good kickers and kick returners. How is special teams for you guys right now?
You know, we feel like we're, as far as our coverage units, you know, really we return, that's where we return a lot of our experience. We had some young kids play there as well. Kicker-wise, you know, we've got a young man that we got to come out. He's a soccer player, and he's done some nice things for us, first time ever playing football. So, you know, again, we feel like we'll have a pretty decent kicker, and, you know, we feel like we're in pretty good position there. We've got all that stuff in, and we've been doing well.
Psyche-wise, Charlie, how important will opening night be against a Minden program that made it to the state semifinals last year, although they – many people believe we'll lose some talent. How important will it be to win or compete in that game to set the table for the rest of the year?
Well, I think more than anything, you want to come out and play well and try to play mistake-free. And if you do that, you're going to have a really good chance to win. So you kind of have to worry about what you can control, and that's the mistakes and turning the ball over and those kind of things. And usually it takes care of itself. But, you know, it'll be an exciting night, and our kids are always ready to play Minden. We've had some pretty good battles in all sports, and, you know, they're going to be ready to go.
Well, it should be a great one to start the season, and Crusader fans, you're going to have good football on both sides of the ball pretty much every night this season. And, Charlie, we hope to catch up with you again throughout the year. Thanks for giving us some time here in the preseason preview, and we'll let you get back to work.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Coach. And that is Coach Charlie Shoemaker on the Doug and Daddy Show. That wraps up the A, B, and C's from the Tri-Cities, and we're going to start taking a look at some of the other area teams over the next few days as we get ready for the high school football season to begin. We'll be looking at Minden and Giltner and Kennesaw and Shelton, and Donovan Trumbull could be an up-and-coming team that Bob Jensen has actually ranked in his top 10 this year. We'll try and catch up with Aurora and a variety of other schools as we get ready for kickoff August 24th for A, B, and some C&D schools, and everybody will have a game in by the night of August the 31st. Our guests taken care of by our friends at BK, Burger King, home of the Whopper, Kearney's favorite burger for more than 30 years. Stop by today in Kearney. Two locations, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. We'll hit the emails and wrap it up after this.
Hey, man, just want to say thanks for helping me move.
Whoa, are you giving me a thank you present?
What? Guys don't give guys thank you presents. These are just the new loaded cheddar and bacon potato skin ruffles. They taste like actual delicious potato skins, melted cheese and all.
So they're not a thank you present?
Of course not. Wait, are you crying?
No. It's just the nicest non-thank you present I've ever gotten.
Ruffles. Snack like you mean it.
Hi, I'm Mike Greenberg. Think you've tried everything for your allergies? Well, Allegra works like nothing else. Only Allegra is both fast and non-drowsy, starts working in just an hour, keeps working for 24 hours to relieve your toughest symptoms like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy, watery eyes. It's effective even at 8 times high pollen levels. So remember, you can have it all with Allegra. It applies to first dose only among OTC-branded antihistamines and controlled environment studies using pollen deemed high by the National Allergy Bureau. Use as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
When it comes to wings, HK Sports Bar & Grill is Wing City. Hi, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar & Grill, and I want to personally invite you to come in and try our great New York-style wings. Plump wings, deep-fried any way you want. Brew-battered, spicy, or traditional, or naked and dipped in one of our savory sauces. In fact, on Thursdays, you get a pound of wings and a pint of beer for just $9. HK Sports Bar & Grill, where you'll see every game of every sport every day.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Doug and Daddy's Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget to vote on our poll question. Yesterday, how much would the NFL's quality of play be affected if it's forced to use replacement referees? And 50% of you said it would be somewhat affected. 31% said not at all. 19% said significantly. Today's poll question, who will win the ACC this year? Yes, we're talking football. Clemson, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. Some people are saying Virginia Tech could be a sleeper. And the new helmet that they might wear for a single game with the Hokie feet, that's cool. I like it. I mean, it is hokey, but it's kind of in a cool way. And then Florida State, you don't know who's playing, who's not playing. Not Georgia Tech. Does Dabo have Clemson ready to go? He's just too good. I'll take the stab and say Virginia Tech. Vote. You can vote, folks, at ESPNSuperstation.com. And one other thing, folks, we are currently looking for correspondents from each area high school to help us with our high school football score reporting each and every Friday night. If you're interested in being at your favorite high school's football game each and every week, you know you're going. Hey, I'm a Shelton fan. I'm going to Shelton's game every week. Hey, I'm a Grand Island Senior High fan. I'm going to be at their game every week. Maybe you're keeping the clock. Maybe you're the PA announcer. Maybe you work with the school. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're just a fan. All we need is score updates. We're texting back and forth, and it's pretty simple. We're going to give you all the details. If you are interested, email us to the Dent Popper inbox and just give us the information. We'll contact you, tell you what you need to do. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You'll receive a free ESPN polo. Ew. God, we're giving stuff away too. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's cheap labor, but hey, everybody will be helping everybody. That's what we're all about in this social media time. So if you're interested in reporting scores for your high school football team during the game each and every Friday night, give us a call, 888-455-3776, or email the program, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And just need one person per school, so help us out. We'll get you the ESPN Superstation polo and a whole lot more, maybe some other goodies as well. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here. Husker Dave says, I see a lot of talk about Tommy Armstrong playing right away. Most fans are saying, play him now. Do they not understand that a third quarterback is a junior, so playing Armstrong would now mean backing him up for 2 years? If he redshirts, he'd have 3 years to play after that quarterback leaves, who would be Breon Carnes or Kellogg, but Carnes would be who you're looking at. Seems like a better move to redshirt him. Wants to know our take. Thanks from Husker Dave. Here's my first thought. Tommy Armstrong, true freshman. What does that mean for our local boys, Riker Fife and Brockmeyer? Are they even getting a look? Are they even getting a look? If Armstrong is already, as we talked about, and I don't, you know, if these kids want to take their shot, I'm all for these kids getting an opportunity to play Division I. That has been my thought for everybody. But you want to play. And immediately you got to wonder, well, if Armstrong's going to take over as a starting quarterback and they're still recruiting quarterbacks and all this, you're one injury away from never knowing what's going to happen. But first, my thought is Riker already relegated to being a career backup, maybe a one-year starter after Armstrong leaves the program? It doesn't sound like Breon Carnes is the answer here. Everybody was worried. I mean, we all knew that he was not going to be able to come in and significantly be a good backup quarterback to Taylor Martinez last year. Everybody says Ron Kellogg III has the attributes, but why would you play him when you can start the new guy that's about at the same level? I think Tommy Armstrong will be redshirted unless Taylor Martinez gets hurt. I mean, there's no other reason to just throw him in there for a series. I mean, let's face it, they hardly ever replaced Taylor Martinez last year when the Huskers did happen to be up big in a football game, or in a couple of cases down big in a football game. So my thoughts are, I would think you would try and get Tommy Armstrong through the season as a redshirt. But if Taylor Martinez does get hurt, I think there's a very good chance that Tommy Armstrong would immediately be put in there. These kids want to play. These kids want to play. There's no doubt about it. And the thing is, though, I mean, it'd probably be up to Armstrong. You got Taylor here for the next 2 years. Armstrong would get 2 years to play if he plays this year. And if he doesn't, he's going to get 3 years to play because he'd still be a backup next year. And we'll see how that all plays out. Always love to hear from you via the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Huskers going through another two-a-day today, and so we'll have more on the program tomorrow. Couple other notes. Nebraska basketball, the men have released their non-conference schedule. They have a five-game homestand to start the season. Nobody that really makes you do cartwheels here, but Southern on November 11th, then Valparaiso, UNO, which counts as a Division I game now, obviously, Tulane, and Kent State. Those last four after Southern are all part of the Joe Cipriano Nebraska Classic. Then they go to Wake Forest as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge, come back home to take on Southern Cal and Creighton. They go to Oregon. Then before Christmas, they host Jacksonville State and go down to the Sun Bowl Invitational, where they will play Central Michigan and then either UTEP or Arkansas Pine Bluff. And the final non-conference game is December 29th against always powerful Nicholls State. Mm-hmm. I was hoping for them to get Dime U and Quarter Tech, but just Nicholls State on the schedule. And, of course, the Big Ten schedule will come out at a later date. Katayuri's contract, she signed it last month, well, back in June, and now it talks about her incentives for winning it all, for winning the Big Ten, for winning conference titles, for getting into the NCAA. And finally, before we get out of here, Hastings College soccer has been at the top of the NAIA now for the last handful of years, and somebody needs their hand slapped and needs to be reprimanded at the GPAC office. How can something like this possibly happen? Again, nobody's going to get crazy because it's soccer. It's not football, or it's not men's basketball, or it's not Division I volleyball, or top 10 volleyball. But the GPAC, to get ranked, you have to send in your information so that the people voting in these polls know what you have. The GPAC didn't do it. Didn't do it for volleyball, didn't do it for men's soccer. They did do it for women's soccer, and Hastings women, who ended last year ninth, are 12th this year. But the Hastings men, and you go to the NAIA website, they've got a Facebook/blog where people can put their opinions on there. The coaches are even on there saying, well, this isn't even a poll because Hastings should be number two behind Lindsey Wilson of Kentucky, but they're not even in the top 25 because they didn't send this out. Kind of hurts your program. You know, you're a recruit, you're going, huh, I wonder why Hastings isn't ranked. They must be going down. I'm looking elsewhere. Wow. The summer's just so busy that you can't get this stuff turned in. Incredible. But we do know that when the first regular season poll comes out, Hastings College will be in that top, not just 25, but I would assume 5 in the country. So, again, wow. I can't. Here's what you need to do. I've been pretty busy the last 4 months. I want to thank all the folks for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I'm not sure which is just worse. The way we ended the show with the GPAC not taking care of the team that's been to the national finals the last 2 years, or the Peeping Tom actually looking at the Chinese women's swimming team. Hey, both. Just a bookend weirdness to today's Doug and Daddy Show. But in between, all kinds of great stuff. We want to thank UNK volleyball coach Rick Squires, Grand Island Central Catholic football coach Charlie Shoemaker, and Brad Wagner, the manager of the Kearney Little Leaguers, for joining us on the show today. Again, Kearney Little League Baseball tomorrow night, first pitch 7:10 right here on ESPN Radio. Tomorrow, more high school football talk plus fantasy football. Get your emailed questions or Facebook questions in for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!